Good morning.
Good morning.
Last week we started a new sermon series that I entitled, What is Right? And I want to pick up where we left off and talk about that a little bit more. Kind of the bottom line last week was, when we have that thing in our hearts that says, I want to do what I want, when I want, with who I want, all of us have had that or have experienced that before, where there's this part of you or part of me that wants to be our own master. We want to be the king of our own life. And so if you've ever experienced that, we make terrible masters. And we select, when we don't put the Lord as our king, terrible kings in our life. And we tell ourselves, as long as I'm not hurting anyone else, it'll be okay. As long as it doesn't hurt anyone else, then I should be able to do what I want, when I want, with who I want. But the truth is it does hurt someone. It hurts you. It hurts those who love you. It hurts those who are with you, and it hurts those who come after you. And during our conversation last week, we looked at the Old Testament, the book of Judges, and it ended, they ended this book, the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, this way. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And this was a small picture of Israel before there was kings. And it was kind of if you didn't hear last week, you can check it out online, but it was a difficult story about what happens when someone does what they think is right. And we looked at a few different points of view of what people, they thought they were doing the right thing, and it was just, when you read it from the outside, you're like, it's, you know, like a Halloween horror movie, that it's not good. But yet, they thought they were doing what was right. We looked at the book of Judges, and the book of Judges, the conversation we talked about was a 310-year history between the Promised Land and King Saul. So from 1380 BC to 1030 BC, about 310 years, where Israel was governed without a king. That God was the king, judges presided over and were God's mouthpiece, spokesperson to the king, the nation of Israel. And there was no king during that 310 years. And without a king, without telling them what to do, we saw most people, as Judges ended, in those days there were no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his or her own eyes. Now the story starts, we're going to look at the prequel to this story. The story starts quite the opposite. The story starts with them making this big declaration and promise to God to follow him and to obey him and that he will be our king. We don't need another king, Lord, because you are always our king, is how the story starts. Now, raise your hand if you ever, as a young person, went to a church camp. So a bunch of you, I like it. I went to church camp for, I don't know, every year of my life, and then I came back a couple of years as a counselor. And this is, and it might sound judgy, but this is what I think about with church camp, is that if you've been, and you guys that have been have going to be able to understand that with me, that the last night of church camp is odd, and it always ends the same way. It always ends with all the girls in the whole place crying, okay? They all cry, because that's what you do, and it's the last night is everybody makes these huge changes in their life, and I'm not going to say it's bad, but they'd all make these changes, boys and girls alike. And I don't know what it is, but the speakers is always, make big changes. And every girl would go dump her boyfriend if she had one. And every guy, if he was going to listen to the message, should go dump their girlfriend. That you're going to quit smoking or drinking or doing anything that gets in the way of God. You're going to quit everything. And you're just going to dedicate your life to God. It's not a bad idea. But it's every time of church camp, the last night, everybody cries, everybody breaks up with their girlfriend or boyfriend, everybody quits doing all the bad stuff and turns back to God. That is how the book of that's how the story before Judges starts. Everyone's going to quit all the bad stuff, and they're going to break up with their girlfriends and boyfriends, and they're going to focus on God. But like happens in church camp, like a week later, the kids are all back to what they used to do. It doesn't take very long for people to give up on that promise to God. Judges begins with Joshua about to die, and he sends them off with this big speech. And we're going to read some parts of it in Joshua chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 14. Joshua speaking, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." This is like the emotional breakup with your girlfriend and stop doing anything bad and focus on the Lord speech we get at summer camp or church camp. This is the people that answered in verse 16. "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Joshua's dying. He's given a speech. Turn away from those other gods and turn back to God. And they're like, of course we're not. Well, how could you think that we would forsake God? They go on verse 17. "It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. Joshua, he protected us on our entire journey among all the nations with which we traveled. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua, Dave, don't you know that we don't have a king? We serve a king. We serve God. He is our God. Of course we're going to serve him. Of course, why are you warning us on your deathbed to turn away from those idols? We, of course, will serve him. We're not going to go back. And Joshua, if you read the whole thing, he kind of taunts them. He's like, "You're going to go back." No, Joshua, we promise. We'll be steadfast in staying connected to the Lord. But in verse 21, "But the people said to Joshua, 'No, we will serve the Lord.'" Now Joshua passes away, and before they really change out of their funeral clothing, this happens in Judges chapter 2, verse 11. It says this, "Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals." Served false idols. Served the idols of the people that they were sent to the promised land to conquer. Before Joshua was really even cold in the ground, short period of time, they forgot this promise they made. And they served the foreign gods, the Baals in this case. And if you looked at the people's point of views, they could make excuses. It's what they do in Canaan. It's what everyone, we don't want to be the oddballs. Like this is, you know, this is the nations are surrounded, but that's all they do. Like, what does it really hurt? Right? We still serve God too. Why does it really hurt? I'm not hurting anyone. But even though they swore they'd never do it, they did evil. And they forsook the Lord. Verse 12, Judges chapter 2, verse 12. "They forsook the Lord and the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them." Verse 12, end of it says this, "They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths." Two different types of gods of the people who they were sent to conquer, sent to bring it, to destroy their gods and burn down their temples and serve God alone. We're going to serve those gods too. The female Baal, they'd have idols to her that they would worship, idols they'd pray to. But the worst part of serving Baal, in my opinion, was if anything ever bad happened, crops die, have a drought, then they would worship them by sacrificing people or children to Baal. No rain, you'd sacrifice multiple children. If the rich people would sacrifice the firstborns, so they'd be richer. That it was a very, very vile, vile system. It's horrible. And yet the Israelites who saw God deliver them, saw them bring them up out of Egypt, saw him pave the way and protect them, slowly but surely stepped back into that old lifestyle, surrounded by the pagans around them and said, we'll serve them too. Verse 14, "In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of the raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they no longer were able to resist." God essentially said to them, "You like the Canaanite way of worship? Then I'll let them conquer you. That the people that you are so excited to, you know, be a part of, I'll let them rule over you." That he judged them. That he said, "Okay, fine. That's how you want it? Those are the decisions you want to make? Then I'm going to step back and see what happens." He removed his blessing from them. And they traded this Egypt slavery, and they traded it for freedom under God. And they traded the freedom they had undergone in for a different culture enslaving and overthrowing them. They forsook God, they followed the people around them, and they surrendered their freedom. Now, what I think is interesting, and most of us want to do what we want with who we want, when we want, where we want, because we want freedom. We just want to be free. The reason we want to be our own master is because we want to be free. But the truth is that when we do what we want with who we want and how we want, we really lose our freedom. We trade one master in for some little masters in our life that quickly master us. And it goes against our first commandment, no other gods before me, and God removed his blessing from these people. The reason we trade one king for another, we tell ourselves, I'm going to serve God, but I'm going to be like second king in my life. That I'll serve God, like I'm going to go to church, I'm going to pray, in my mind I'm going to know that he is, you know, sovereign God. He's my real king. But what we really want is we want to be little kings, right? You want to be the little king of your life. You know there's a big one, can't really do anything about that, but I can ignore him once in a while and I'll be like the second king. But the truth is that we were created by a creator. We were created. And we were created we're essentially created to worship our creator, to worship our king, to be ruled, to govern, to be directed by our king. And when we trade our big king in for little kings, we will allow those things to rule us because we were created to serve, to glorify, to give praise to our Lord. And when we trade in one big king, we'll trade them in for small kings. Kings that we could call one of our kings appetite. Appetite for things in our life. I talked about in my last church, and I think I did a short series here called The Comparison Trap. And one of the comparison traps is this huge king in people's lives is you always are trying to fill it, trying to compare. You have things in your life as a nation, we're so blessed. But when you compare it to someone else, it destroys that thing. That thing that was valuable and precious now becomes minuscule and little because somebody else has something bigger or better or shinier. That the comparison trap is one of the kings we can serve so easily is material things. We can serve lust or greed. We can have our family history that's like, well, that's how we've already done it. That's who we are. That's how my parents did it and how this grandparents did it. That's just who I am. I can't break from that. Little kings tempt us. They give us this idea that I won't be controlled, to I can't stop. That I want, God's so different from those little kings because he offers us freedom. Freedom to choose. He's not going to come in and say, nope, you started, you're never going to stop again. But those little kings that we serve in our life, addictions, wealth, greed, lust, they won't let you go after you start to serve them. That they dig their hands dig their fingers and hands into your heart, and it's hard to break away. You ever tried to give up something you know you shouldn't do? You keep going back to it over and over again? Even the Apostle Paul in Scripture writes that there's something in his life that he wanted to get rid of. He begged God to take it from him. And what does God say? My grace is sufficient. He doesn't do it. But he says, you need to keep working, keep striving, keep closing, getting closer to me, but I'll give you grace. But there's little things in our life that we think they're no big deal, they won't hurt anybody, but then we can't stop them once we start because they're not like the Lord. They dig their feet into it. Why is it so much easier to say no to God than to say no to the things we substitute for God? Easy to say no to God because he doesn't make us. But it's hard to say no to the little teeny kings we substitute God for because we like them. Sometimes we get addicted to them. We like the feeling of them. They make us feel free, but in all reality, they're enslaving us. Maximum freedom is found under the authority of God every single time. God lets you choose. He's a God of mercy. He wants you to love him. He wants to show his love back to you. And it's the only way for freedom is for us to and for this nation of Israel to go and come back to him. Judges chapter 3, verse 8 says, "The anger of the Lord burned against Israel so that he sold them into the hands of the Cush-Rethemans, king of Aram, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. And after that 8 years, they throw up their hand and they say, Lord, we've sinned. Rescue us. Bring us back to you. And God says, you are my people and I love you. And so he does. He brings them back to him. He delivers them. Because he is God. And he will deliver you every single time when we cry to come back. Now, as a pastor, it's always been a powerful thing for me to see people shrug off and throw off those little kings that they've given authority to in their life and come back to God. And I think, and it's powerful when I am able to do it myself, when I'm able to grow closer to him and shrug off things that are slowing me down, as Paul says, from the race that God set before me, to shrug off anything that encumbers and slows you down. In the ancient times, the athletes that would run in the races, the Olympics that they had back then, would run naked. That would be give you a good reason to want to be first if you were running naked, but they'd run naked because they'd throw off everything that it hinders them. And I'm not saying run naked through life, but it's a powerful picture of when there's something slowing you down from the race that God sets before you, get rid of it. That's the challenge that we'd always get at children's camp. If there's something standing in the race that God is asking you to run that's slowing you down, to get rid of it. Now, I would say this as we kind of, if I bring this together. The ancient Israelites, they wanted to serve God. They saw him as their king, their deliverer. They literally, visually saw the miracles that he performed for them. But then they'd get kind of lackadaisical. That the culture surrounded them, just like we have culture surrounding us today, they would do things that seemed normal to that culture, and there was like a little bit of them that thought, it's not going to hurt anyone. I can serve that God too. In my heart, I'll know who the real one is. I'll serve that king and that king, but I know he's the real king. But then you start serving those little kings as they did, and they can't stop. They get trapped. They get pulled back. The race that they're running gets slowed down to a crawl. And they throw it off God. They have this epiphany moment where they realize, you know, in this case, they're enslaved by another nation, conquered. But even in our lives, we'll see people who, you know, have been sober for years and years and years because they had a moment, an epiphany moment, that they're like this, you know, whether it's they went to jail or something, they almost hurt someone or so many reasons. And they're like, okay, I'm done. And they throw off that little king, and they start to live their life clean and powerful. Now, all of us have little kings in our life we could probably throw off, things that are hindering us, slowing us down, things that we've given authority to in the name of, I want to be my own boss and do my own thing, and it's not hurting anyone, but when we really think about it, it's not helping for sure, and it can hurt us and those around us. Every time we turn back to God, he can't give you the past back. It's gone. But you can start then and now, new and fresh. Start on focusing on him. Start a powerful, powerful race that God still has set before you. So the bottom line, in our attempt to do what we want, many times we trade one king for another. So I ask you the question as we close, whom will you serve? Whom will you serve? And if your answer is going to be, I'm going to serve God, then this week, as you think about that and wrestle with that in your mind, what does it look like to serve God? When there's little kings, little parts of your life you've given authority to that it's not God, question if those are healthy or not. And if they're not healthy, it's time to shrug them off. It's time to say, I don't want to wait until, you know, my epiphany moment where I have no choice as the Israelites did when they were enslaved again. It took them 8 years and they're like, oh, okay, it's enough of this. I don't want to wait till then. Let's fix it now. Let's shrug it off now. Let's say, Lord, you are sovereign God of my life. You are the only king of my life. And when I try to take some of that authority and become my own king, I realize I'm not a good king. I'm going to say no and give it back to you. That's all we can do. And run the race he has set before us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please stand with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the wisdom that we can read this old ancient text about a nation that you chose to bless and you chose to reveal yourself to the world through. But Lord, a nation that messed up, and it's easy to read on paper and say, wow, they're dumb. But Lord, it's also easy for us to see our own life as a small representation of what they did. Lord, help us to learn from our ancestors. Help us to look at what they did and how and to avoid some pitfalls and avoid some of their mistakes by learning and saying, no, I shouldn't wait until I'm hit rock bottom. Shouldn't wait until I'm in the hospital or until I'm in jail or until I'm in the divorce court. Let me start right now and throw off anything that's hindering me from running the race that you, Lord, has set before me. Lord, let me make you the only king of my life. And Lord, throughout my week, when I try to take some authority back or try to do my own thing or have this itch in my heart that's like, I want to be in charge, Lord, let us remember that there is ultimate authority through you, Lord, and there's ultimate freedom. The only real freedom is in serving you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.